I was looking for Dorothy going through the wind there. I guess we got all the dirt from Kansas is what they told me. I don't know if that's where all the leaves came from and stuff too. I was trying so hard. I got all the leaves raked up this last week. Got my grass seed planted in the yard, and then the wind came through and put the leaves all back. And so, yeah, we'll see how that goes. And we didn't get much rain. We need more rain. So, all right. Hey, we're going to be in the book of Joshua, the Old Testament. And it's been several years since I've gone through the book of Joshua, maybe even like 15 years or longer. So, wow. I think we maybe it was in that first year or two that we were the church was getting going, so that could be 19 years ago. So, Book of Joshua, we're going to start in there, and we'll probably take a break for Palm Sunday and Easter, and then go back into it. There's a lot of great things in the Book of Joshua. Joshua is just a great individual in the Old Testament. When you think of Old Testament, you maybe think of Moses, right? He wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, and he was kind of the one that brought him out of Egypt up to the Promised Land. Of course, there's David, there's Isaiah, there's Jeremiah, a lot of great figures in the Old Testament. There's a bunch of them. But Joshua, there's just a lot that we can learn from that book, but also from his life. He lived most of his life in the shadow of who? Of Moses. Yeah. That second chair, I don't know, maybe that is, really identifies with somebody here today that your life, you're not the leader, you're not the main leader, you're that assistant, you're that aide that's in the shadow of somebody else. And that's who Joshua was. He was the commander of the armies of Israel, so that's a pretty significant role. But he was mainly known as the aide for Moses, the assistant. You look at Numbers chapter 32, verse 12, you'll see that Joshua and Caleb were the only two people. They were the exceptions when they get out of Egypt and they go through the wilderness. And in a pretty short period of time, they are at the southern border of what we call the Promised Land, modern day Israel. And they send 12 spies in to check out the land, right? And they came back with a report. Was it a good report or a bad report? It was bad. 10 of them said, hey, it's a great land. It's flowing with milk and honey, but people there are huge. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. And the only people that had faith and said that God is able to help us to take the land were two people, Joshua and Caleb, right? They wholeheartedly followed the Lord. It was Joshua that would accompany Moses when he would go up Mount Sinai to meet with God. And he would also, when Moses would go to this, what was called the Tent of Meeting. It was like a little tabernacle in the wilderness where Moses would go and meet with God. Exodus 33:11 says that the Lord would speak to Moses as face to face, right? As one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. But catch this. But his young aide, who? Joshua, the son of Nun. There, that's a good name, right? Son of Nun. Did not leave the tent. And so there's something in Joshua that not only was he the assistant, he was faithful, but he had a heart for God as well. And he desired the presence of God just as much as Moses, if not even more. So we know that Moses would disobey God, right? In the wilderness. One time he strikes the rock, water comes out. The next time God says, speak to the rock. And Moses was frustrated with the people, with the circumstances. And so instead of just speaking to the rock, he what? Strikes the rock again. Water does come out, but he disobeyed God. And you may think that's a pretty small thing, but it mattered to God. And because of that, Moses would not have the opportunity to go into the Promised Land. He would go up a mountain. He would see it from the east. He would look west. We assume he dies there, but he does not have the opportunity to go into the Promised Land, right? He just is able to see it. And so it'd be under the leadership then of Joshua that Israel would go into the Promised Land. He was loyal, he was humble, he was righteous, he was faithful. And even though the land was promised to them, it wasn't like they just walked into it and it was theirs, right? There was battles that had to be fought. There was sweat that had to be hard work. They had to settle the land. There was a lot of work involved in that. And I think there's a lot of similarities between what Joshua did for the people of Israel and what we are called to do as believers in Christ. God's promised us a lot of things, right? He's promised us the gift of salvation. He's promised a spirit-filled life. He's promised us freedom. But guess what? Those promises also take work on our part. We have to go in and claim them. And often it requires discipline. It requires hard work. It requires our cooperation. They're available, but we still have to go in and take it. Are you following me? It's not like we go, say, man, I'm saved now. It's just all there, and I don't have to do anything. I can sit in my recliner. I have to do the disciplines. I have to do the practices that are going to help me grow and claim the promises that are available to me. So possessing the promises of God require courage, conviction, hard work, holiness, and yes, even faith, right? And we'll see that in the book of Joshua. So after 40 years in the wilderness, so they were right at the edge there, but they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation would die off, the people of unbelief and no faith. They would die in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb would survive that time and be of the generation that would go into the promised land. So at that point, you figure Joshua had to be, what, 30-something in the wilderness. You attack on another 40 years. He has to be 70, 80 years going into the promised land, okay? So you're not in your prime of life, are you? And now he has to go in and lead the people, this 1 million, 2 million people, into the promised land, fight battles, lead the people. He was no longer a young pup, and he had big shoes to fill. Just imagine if you were the one that's saying, now you have to fill the shoes of Moses, the person that the people worshipped and saw as a spiritual leader. Now you're stepping into that role to be the leader. And so that's what God was calling him to do. Now, a lot of us maybe won't lead at that level where we're leading millions of people, okay? Right? But maybe we will. But you know what? We all must lead at some level. Whether it is leading in your own life, did you know you have to lead in your own life? We call that discipline, self-discipline, right? Getting yourself out of bed, eating right, getting into the Bible, praying. That all takes leadership within our life, right? We call it discipline. And if you can't lead it at that basic level, you're not going to be the best leader on the larger stage, okay? You won't be. You have to learn to lead at that basic level. And not all of us are going to be a top 10 leader. A lot of us are going to be 3s, 5s, and 7s. And that's okay. That is okay. Be the best leader that God has equipped you and wired you to be. So whether it is at the basic level or at the higher levels, leadership is hard work. And it's going to take all the courage of faith that we need, that we can get to do it. Okay? Why? Because to lead with courage in our world means swimming against the flow, going upstream, right? And so there are some key principles that I want us to look at in the book of Joshua. So before we dive in, chapter 1, Joshua, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is able to guide and correct us, help us, strengthen us, Lord God. And so, Lord God, open up your word to us today. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Chapter 1, verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of God, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead, and now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River. So now they're going to cross the Jordan. They're going to come from the west and go east into the promised land. So they're going to cross the Jordan. The first battle that they're going to face is the battle of Jericho, right? We'll get to that later. Verse 3, I'll give you every place that you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and then from the great river the Euphrates and all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you in all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. So this is going, God speaking to Joshua. I will never leave you or forsake you. Now that's often attributed to who? Who do we often say quoted that and said that? Jesus. Yeah. I don't know if Jesus said it. All right? Joshua, God said it to Joshua, though. I will never leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people and to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Notice how many times strong and courageous comes up. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Right or to the left, yep. And then you'll be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law. So for them, that was the first five books of the Bible, okay? And a lot of that probably hadn't been written. Moses is attributed as the author of the first five books. The Psalms and the prophets, all that stuff would come later, okay? But they were to take the book of the law, so Deuteronomy, which is second law, Numbers, those Leviticus, those were they were to put in, keep in their heart. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So there's that phrase again, be strong and courageous. Verse 10, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people. They didn't have a YouTube, they didn't have public broadcast system, right? They didn't have cell phones to send it out on, right? Word of mouth, right? Three days from now, you will cross the Jordan and here to go in and take possession of the land. The Lord your God has given you for your own. Verse 12, but the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord, your God will give you the rest by giving you this land. So they actually had land on the east side of the Jordan River, but they would still have to go over and help the rest of the Israelites take all the land on the west side of the Jordan River, okay? And then they could go back after the battles were won, everybody was settled, they could go back and settle there. Verse 14, your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives you them rest, as he has done for you until you have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. And after that, you may go and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Verse 16, then he answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. So this is the people, okay, responding back to Joshua. Whatever you commanded us to do, wherever you send us, we will go. Okay? Just as we fully obeyed Moses, I don't know if they always did that, okay? So we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word does not obey it. Whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. All right. So let's look at this a little bit deeper here. The courageous leader, or the courageous person, I'm putting leader in there because I believe that we all lead at some level, okay? Whether you're young or old, whether you maybe don't have much of a leadership role, but maybe you're a supervisor at work, right? I believe we all lead at some level. We influence other people. If you boil down to leadership to influence, we all influence people in our life, all right? School, work, home, community, all right? So first of all, the courageous leader, first of all, knows their source of confidence. You notice how many times that strong and courageous comes up? I don't know if Joshua doubted himself. I do know he had some pretty big shoes to fill, right? And he had to be reminded of where his confidence lied, right? God promises that he'll never leave him or he won't forsake him, to be strong and courageous. And Joshua had a great experience. He learned under a great leader, and he learned under Moses. And Moses would even remind Joshua to be strong and courageous. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, 1 through 8, it said Moses had finished giving the instructions to all the people of Israel. He says, now I'm 120 years old. Wow. If you're leading at 120, that's pretty good, isn't it? I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me, you will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord, your God himself, will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. And Joshua will lead you across the river just as the Lord had promised. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land just as he destroyed Sihon and Og and the kings of the Amorites. The Lord will hand you over to the people that live there to you. And you must deal with them as I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. So there's that phrase again. Moses tells them to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you or abandon you. And again, verse 7, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. Verse 8, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord personally will go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So, who was going to be Joshua's source of confidence after we've read all that? Who? God was, right? Now, we gain confidence from a lot of different things. Okay? Joshua had a proven track record. I think he was a good leader. If you're entrusted leading the army of Israel, you must be a leader at some level there. He did well. And we know that leaders must lead themselves, but even the best leaders doubt themselves, especially in key moments. We learned that during COVID, just talking with a lot of pastors and pastors that lead at a pretty high level. And it pretty much caused all leaders, pastoral leaders, to really doubt their leadership. It was just a very difficult moment to lead in. But we gain confidence through what? God. What else? Where else do we gain confidence? Say it louder. Okay, pray. How about experience, right? Got some coaches here. Gain through experience, right? It's hard to watch a sports broadcast and that word confidence not being used, right? They'll talk about how this season they're just in a better place, and they have more confidence, right? It comes through experience, through training, right? That is definitely a source of confidence. It comes through mentors, through coaching. There's no substitute for God's belief in us. So if you watch sports, yesterday I was watching some of the Big Ten games, and then the Big East. Creighton was playing last night. You know, whenever you watch a sporting event, you see confidence is very fluid. What do I mean by that? One minute, a player, a team can have this confidence that is off the charts. And then there's, boom, it can just turn. And the other team can get momentum, right? You can watch it. And it just fascinates me because why? Why can confidence be there at one moment and then the next minute when you need it the most, it's gone, right? Confidence and courage. It comes from experience, it comes from mentoring, but I believe there's a huge role that God plays in our lives because there's times where we can begin to doubt ourselves, we doubt our ability, what God has called us to do, and we have to remember the truth of what God has spoken to us, and he believes in us, because there's definitely times where things go the opposite direction, and that's when we doubt, right? And that's where we need to be reminded, you know what? God is with me. We're going to figure this out. In Joshua, we see a leader who was confident and courageous, yet he was humble. You know, sometimes the confident or even the overconfident players lack humility, right? Right? We call that being what? Do they stay cocky, right? Right? Strutting around. They think they got it all together until they don't, right? But we don't see that in Joshua. He had confidence, but he also had that humility. Humility and confidence are so vital. They go together because it helps you to keep you level and grounded. If you want to be a courageous leader, you have to know your source of confidence. It comes through experience, mentoring, other sources in our life. It comes from parents that believe in us, right? But it also comes from knowing what God says of us and His word spoken over our life. Amen? Number two, the courageous leader not only knows their source of confidence, but they find direction in God's word. And so in verse 8, it says to meditate on God's word, right? To meditate. They're instructed to meditate, to know God's word, so that they wouldn't turn to the right or the left. They would know what they were supposed to do. They were going into a land that the people did whatever they wanted to do, right? In regards to sexual morality, anything went. That was the culture that they were going into. And God knew that they would be influenced by that, right? It would have to do with idolatry. They worshipped other gods. So that they would have good crops, and so that they would have a lot of kids, and so they would worship these other gods, Baal, Asherah, right? And so there was going to be that temptation in Israel. You look at Israel's history in the Old Testament, you realize idolatry played a huge role. They stumbled along that way many times. That's why God says, get into God's word so you know the truth. And so you don't turn to the right or left, but you follow my ways. You know, that was true for them. How much it's still true for us today, isn't it? Right? And the only way we can know what God's word is if we get into it, if we know it, and we put it to memory. So in practicing the way class, right, a lot of people that grew up in a Jewish home, they had to memorize the first five books of the Bible. So that's your homework for next week. All right? Just think about that. Right? They put it to memory because they didn't have a copy like this in their own homes. It was in the temple. It was at the place of worship because it was on scrolls, right? You didn't have the luxury of having this. You didn't have it on your phone. And so they memorized it, put it in their heart. And he says to meditate on it. That literally means to mutter. So if you talk to yourself, you're biblically accurate, okay? All right? How many mutter to yourself? You don't have to respond. Talk to yourself. It means to study deeply, to pore over something, to keep it in mind, reflect on it deeply, memorize it, to think about thoroughly. So it really, the good illustration up there is, yeah, look at that, my friend up there. Yeah. So what is he doing, or what is she doing? She's chewing her cud, isn't she? Yeah, so a cow will actually, their digested food, they actually kind of regurgitate it and re-chew it. It's rumen, and did you know that? Yeah, it's chewing their cud. That's what God says to do with His Word. As you maybe you have your devotional time in the morning, and you read a few verses, a chapter. There's some things that really stand out. Then throughout the day, you kind of chew on that. Throughout the day, you meditate on it, and you know what? It's kind of like, oh wow, I didn't think about that before, and you understand it more. And you're getting something out of it that you didn't see just reading it quickly and looking at it on a surface level. Now you're kind of digging into it deeply. That is what it means to meditate on God's word. So whenever you see a cow chewing its cud, you can think, that's what I'm supposed to be doing with God's word. I need to chew on it, meditate on it, get it into my heart, and think about it throughout the day. I believe when we do, we can follow God's word. If we're not in the Word of God, we're influenced by the culture around us, okay? Whether it is on our phones, whether it's on the TV, whether it's in our conversations at work, at school, we're influenced by the culture around us. The only way you can't be is if you totally unplugged and be a hermit, okay? And even then, I think you can struggle with some of those things. God was calling the people of Israel into new land, and to occupy it, they were going to have to take it. They were actually going to bring judgment on the people that were living there due to their wickedness. And God was calling them to be different, to be set apart for God and for His purposes. They were to be a light in a dark world, just as you and I are to be a light in a dark world. Now, if we're like the people around us, you're not going to shine very bright. It's kind of like, they're just like me. But when you live differently, people look at your life and they say, you know what? What's different? They have a peace. They have a presence about their life that I don't have. This is what Peter says, 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. of the people of Israel, but it's also speaking to us, the New Testament church. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You once were not a people, but now you're the people of God. You were once had not received but mercy, but now you've received mercy, living godly. And then that's the title there, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Isn't that good? God has called you whatever. I don't know if you grew up in a Christian home or if you didn't, but he called you out of darkness, however dark that was for you. He's called you into his light, and you are to be that light to the world around you. The only way we can do that is, one, that we lead in our own lives, but also that we know God's word and allow it to shine out through our life. We're that city on a hill, Jesus says, that shines forth to the rest of the world. We're not to cover it up. We're not to let our light dim, but we're to let it shine through our life. And so God's word is like a compass. It shows us the true north, right? Where we need to go, how we are to live our life. If we depend upon what your friends say, what your colleagues say, it can be whatever, right? We have to know what God's word, that is our true north. That'll guide us and direct us so that we can be the people that God has called us to be. Amen? Number three. Courageous leader, believer, knows their source of confidence, and they find their direction through God's word. And lastly, they fully obey God's word. You know, even as I was reading that last part of chapter 1, they said, you know, the people said, hey, we are going to obey just like we did to Moses, right? If you kind of read through the book of Joshua, you realize they, for the most part, they obeyed Joshua and God through the lifetime of Joshua. But the minute Joshua dies, what happens? It says everybody, you get into the book of Judges, each person did what was right in his own eyes. You have the time of the judges, and this cycle where they would serve God, and then they would fall away, and so God would raise up a judge. They didn't do very good with that. So the people didn't keep their end of the bargain, did they? They followed God when Joshua was alive, but the minute he's off the scene, they do whatever they want to do. And so don't underestimate the influence of your life. Maybe more people are watching your life than you realize. A lot of things have changed since Joshua walked this earth. But one thing is still the same. Most people obey the desires of their heart and follow the cultural influences of their day. That's the easy. That's going with the flow, right? That's the easy thing to do. We want to fit in. We don't want to be different sometimes, right? But that's what God is calling us to be. He's calling us to be different, to let our light shine before men. Most believers want to obey until the sacrifice becomes too great, until the sinful desire becomes too strong, until the pressure becomes too unbearable. You follow me? Yeah. You know, you can be all saying, hey, man, dating that lady or dating that guy, and it's kind of like, ooh, we're going to serve God. And then passion kicks in, and sometimes all that goes right out the window, right? Right? Yeah, it's hard. You want to serve God with your finances. You know, things are a little bit tight. Can't make ends meet, so you cheat on your taxes. You steal, you embezzle money. You know what? You read the paper and you see people that do that and they look like pretty normal people. Some of them look like, wow, really? They don't look like this big, bad criminal. What got them to that place? They probably wanted to do the right thing, but they felt like they needed something else, and so they begin to compromise. Obedience, that is a huge word. It's harder to do than we realize, isn't it? Right? To fully obey God and his word. And I feel like the church today, not only just Radiant Springs Church, the church in America, probably around the world. We obey up to a certain point, but to obey at the level that God is really calling us to is hard. Okay? And I'm not going to point any fingers because I got enough fingers pointing at me. Okay? Right? All right? Okay. So, you have to look at your own life and say, God, how can I fully obey you? We all stumble. We all fall. We make mistakes. So thank God for his grace. Amen? But that is not an excuse for us then to just live in God's grace and do whatever we want to. God is calling us to holiness. He calls us to live in obedience to him. And we'll see how serious God takes that here as we get in a few more chapters into Joshua. So Joshua led with courage, humility, conviction, and during his lifetime, the Israelites followed him. But we know that as it got to the end and to the book of Judges, they each did what was right in their own eyes. This is what I do know is that our world is desperate for courageous people, for people that will obey even when it's unpopular, even when it hurts, and even when their sinful desires tug in their heart. If you're human, that's going to happen, folks. That's not because you're a bad person. If you are tempted, even Jesus was tempted, right? Right? So just because you're tempted doesn't mean you're an awful person. It just means that you're human and you have blood flowing through your veins. But our world is desperate for people that'll be different, that will live a courageous Christian life that reflects God's presence, his word in their life. Your life will not be worth following if it doesn't, if you just do whatever you want to do and serve the Lord half-heartedly. But if you give him everything, your whole heart, and you do your best to walk with him, you're going to stand out. Sometimes you may even be made fun of. I guess that's the way it is. But there's going to be other people that will look at your life and say, I want to be like them. We have the musicians come. I've shared this illustration. It's not even in my notes, but I've shared it with the youth group a few times. But I grew up small town, North Dakota. I had 16 kids in my class before we moved up to Alaska my junior year. I had one friend that went to church with us, grew up in a Christian home. But most of my classmates, they partied, they did the drugs, they slept around. Jason did. He did pretty good. Wasn't perfect, but he was my best friend. But there was one kid, I remember my friend Jason and I, we went out fishing. It was the opening for fishing in North Dakota, so that was when they had season, so it opened up like that first weekend of May. Fished the Cheyenne River. We spent the night camping in a little pup tent. And one of our classmates, his first name was Rick, was there. Came from a pretty rough home. I don't know all the details there. All I know is that came from a pretty rough background. He'd come and his hair was always oily. He wasn't the best groomed, you know. We made fun of him for that, including myself. Not proud of that. That's just being honest. But I remember that Saturday morning, we were talking and catching some northern perch there on the Cheyenne. He just looked at me. He goes, Brent, what's different with your life? And it just took me back. But he was asking me, and you know, sometimes we're always worried about, you know, how do I share my faith? He just flat out asked me, he goes, what's different? What do you have that I don't? You know, and I tried to answer him, but I was, kind of took me back. It really caused me to grow and say, being ready to give a response to the faith that I have in my own heart. And I still see him on Facebook to this day, and I believe he's married. I believe he's accepted Christ as his Lord. So that's pretty cool. But the world's watching more than we sometimes realize. And I can honestly say, I was kind of like, you know, he noticed stuff in my life, and I don't know if I was always the best person to him. And yet he still saw Christ in me, and I guess that's pretty humbling, isn't it? To realize that even with our imperfection and our mistakes, that God can somehow shine through our life to the world around us. Your neighbors, your classmates, your coworkers, people in this, the community you live in, they're watching your life. They're watching you. The neighbor across the street, whether they know you or not, they know a lot about you. Right? They're watching you. So live with courage. Reflect the presence of Christ. Amen? Would you stand this morning? I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. And then we're going to worship the Lord together as we go. Lord, this morning, we all have a choice to serve you. And I know many here today, maybe all, but maybe there's someone here watching online or just here that hasn't made that decision. They don't know if their time came that you took them home, if they have that hope of salvation. And Lord, that isn't something that we have to gamble with. It's not something we have to guess about. You said in your word that we can know for sure that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, we will be saved. But it's more than a prayer. It is living our life in obedience to you and growing in you and becoming more like you. And so if we make that our prayer this morning, in our own words, God will come into our heart, and it begins the journey to be a follower of Christ and to make him our Lord and Savior. So if that's you this morning, would you just take that moment to make that your personal prayer today? And Lord God, I pray for each one here today, including myself. Lord God, give us the courage we see in the life of Joshua. I think he was an ordinary guy. He was humble. He loved you. He desired your presence. And he needed those words from you that to be strong and courageous. And we all need to hear those words, because there's moments that we doubt you. We doubt our faith. We doubt our influence. We doubt our ability, Lord God. And sometimes the words within our own heart and our own mind are stronger than the words you speak over us, God. And God, I pray that your words, your word to us, would drown out anything else. And in each moment of life, we can hear that we are loved by you, that you will never leave us or forsake us. To be strong and courageous in our faith, in what you've called us to do in life, to do it well, to do it with the best of our ability. That in the end, Lord God, you receive the glory, you receive the praise, and you are lifted up. Lord God, hear our prayer this morning. Pray, amen. Let us sing this together today. Amen. Would you close your eyes? Speak to those that maybe you just feel a little discouraged this morning, or maybe you feel a lot discouraged. Maybe it has to just do with your walk with God. Maybe it has to do with work and school. Maybe just with life. We all have those moments. And I think that's just part of being human. Maybe we've had some setbacks. I think we need to hear God's words that he speaks over us, that we're highly favored, we're called, we're redeemed, we're his, to be strong and courageous, and that he'll never leave us or forsake us. So Lord God, that is my prayer for us today. We're your people, we're called by your name. You've called us out of our past and into your glorious light, to be the people of God. We're your royal possession, your precious possession, that you've loved, that you've redeemed, that you've called by name. And Lord God, if there's even just an ounce of discouragement there, defeat, Lord God, may you crush that with your words this morning, with who you say that we are in you. whether they come from the outside or they come within our own heart. God, crush those, I pray. Let us hear your word. Let it ring loud and true. Go with your people today. Let us be the salt and light that you've called us to be in our world. Oh God, people are watching. Let them see Christ in you. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise. Everybody said. Hey, if you need prayer this morning, Christy will be over here. Garrett will be over here. Just make your way forward and pray with him. We're going to have some music on as soon as Denise is done. And they'll be up here for a few minutes, so don't put it off.